The church is God's institution for changing the world. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us about God's plan for the local church.
If it's just going to take a little setback of unemployment and you're going to quit church, then you didn't count the cost when you started. God says you're going to have to resist steadfast that devil when he comes your way to try to swipe against your marriage and to try to get you out of church. You're going to have to determine, I'm not going to give up that easy. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. My goal is Jesus, and I will finish by the grace of God.
The local New Testament church has been attacked, misunderstood, marginalized, and even reinvented. But the real local church, the institution Christ purchased with his own blood, is still God's plan for reaching the world and transforming lives. That is why we are in a series entitled Real Church. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our current series is designed to give us an understanding of how a real church should function and how we fit into God's eternal plan for changing the world. Right now, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 18 and discuss principles for building real relationships. Here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
Well, as we've been studying the church, we have learned that the church had a real beginning. The church has a real statement of faith, a doctrinal position. The church is to have a real witness in the community. The church has a God-given purpose that it must fulfill. And this morning we're going to learn that the church is also comprised of real people, that's you and me, born-again believers, a called-out assembly of believers, and that God wants us to function properly in our relationships one with another. Sometimes Bible students refer to this topic as the body life within the church. How does the body function? How are we to function with our relationships one with another? Many passages speak about the body life. For example, in Ephesians 4, in your notes there, in verse 14, the Bible says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him, that is Christ, in all things. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, without expounding that entire passage, we learn right there in Ephesians chapter 4 concerning the body that there are three characteristics of a spiritual body of believers. And I want you to see that. First of all, a spiritual body of believers is a developing in maturity. They are developing in their maturity. Verse 14 says that we would not henceforth be as children tossed to and fro. By the way, how many of you want to get strong enough in your faith so that when the trials of life blow and when the winds of discouragement blow, they're not going to blow you right out of fellowship with God or with His people? How many of you say, you know what, I want to be rooted and grounded in my faith? So there is a developing maturity that takes place in a spiritual body. Secondly, there is a devotional growth. The Bible says in verse 15, speaking the truth in love and growing up into Him in all things. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. It does mean, however, that we're growing in our love for God and in our love for one another. That's God's design for the body. And then thirdly, there is a demonstrated love. A demonstrated love. It says in verse 16 that we are as a body to edify one another, edifying itself in love. And so God has a very clear picture of how He wants the body, the local church, to function. He wants us to be a spiritually functioning body. He wants us to relate well with one another. Now today we're going to learn that that's not always the easiest thing to do, because not every Christian is always walking in the Spirit. Sometimes Christians walk in the flesh. Sometimes Christians act as though they don't even know the Lord as their Savior. What do you do in relationships like that? I mean, someone says, wow, this is awesome. We're a called out assembly of believers. We're all here together. God has saved us. But suddenly a Christian does something you didn't expect. And suddenly a Christian falls by the wayside. And what do we do when everything isn't just perfect? Someone might liken the analogy to the marital relationship. You fall in love, you're dating, everything's awesome, everything's wonderful. You get married, the wedding was great, the presents were great. About 3 or 4 days into it, you go, whoa, I'm living with this person the rest of my life. He doesn't even know how to get toothpaste out of the toothpaste container, and she doesn't know this. And all of a sudden, the realities start to set in. And that's when we need to follow the Word of God as our guide in every single relationship. So let's dive into our message this morning. We're going to look at three kinds of people that sometimes we need to deal with. We're going to look first at the willful offender. What do you do with someone that offends you? Secondly, we're going to look at the wayward brother. What do you do when someone falls away from the Lord? Finally, we're going to look at the willing servant. How do you treat the guy that's just always there doing his job? Notice, first of all, the willful offender. Sometimes in the Christian life, you're going to have someone that does something that offends you. They are another Christian, but they did something that offends you. Now, don't raise your hands. If you've been saved more than 30 days, this has probably happened to you already. And we're going to talk about that this morning. The Bible speaks of it in Matthew 18 and verse number 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Now, if you're like me, you might wonder, why did Jesus have to share this devotion, if you will, this admonishment with the early assembly of believers that were gathered with him? Why did he have to tell them? Now, look at right here. Let's think about this. They had the perfect pastor, Jesus Christ, right? They were the first called out ones. They were in the moment, folks, but Jesus had to tell them how to get along with each other. Someone could have said at this moment, I'm just going to go find another church. Little problem, there was no other church. Someone could have said, you know, if the pastor was doing a better job, there'd be more peace in the church. Little problem, the pastor here, folks, is Jesus Christ. Why was Jesus having to tell them how to get along with one another? Well, part of it goes back to verse 1 of this chapter, and you'll notice in that verse, the disciples were saying something very dumb. They were saying, now, Lord, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And they're all about themselves in this chapter. They're all about trying to lift themselves up. How many of you know that when pride gets in the way, we do offend? When pride gets in the way, problems come. So Jesus begins speaking to them, and in these first few verses, he says to them, look it, I don't even want you to offend a little child. I don't want you being offensive one toward another. And so with that background, he comes here to verse number 15, and he says, when you do offend, when there's an offense made, I'm going to give you the way to deal with that. How do we handle offenses in the Christian life? Not to discourage someone who's not yet a Christian, but just to be honest about the fact that, yes, problems arise, but God's grace does make a difference, okay? And how are we to handle these things? Very quickly, first of all, God says, I want you to acknowledge the offense. I want you to acknowledge the offense. Verse 15, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between he and thee. Someone says, oh, you can't do that, pastor, because they're not going to receive it, or, he's been in the church a long time, or I don't know how to express myself. Friend, those are not the issues here. The issue is that God says, if there's something that's offended you, watch this, you're unable to lay it down at the cross, it's something that you really need to deal with it, then God says, I want you to acknowledge that. Now, let me tell you, after pastoring for 25 years at this church nearly, that there are far too many people who tend to carry stuff and hold stuff that either, number one, needs to be laid down at an altar, or number two, we need to go to someone and take care of it. And God's will is that we would acknowledge the offense, that we would not hide it under a blanket or carry it over our shoulder. and that we would deal with it, watch this, before somehow one day we just explode or before we slip out the back door in anger. God says, no, no, I've given you this beautiful gathering of assembly of believers that belong to the Lord. And he says, I want you to treat this very well. I want you to work through the issues according to my will for your life. I heard about a little league coach that was talking to one of the players on his team, and he said, now, son, listen to me. He said, you understand we're here to play like a team. He said, yes, sir, I do. He said, you understand we're here to support one another. He said, yes, sir, I do. He said, you understand when the umpire calls a strike or says that we're out, we don't kick dirt, we don't cuss, we don't get angry. Do you understand that, son? He said, yes, sir, I do. And the coach said, good, go tell your mother. Now, if you've ever had kids in Little League, you understand that's far too close to the truth to be too funny, isn't it? Because sometimes grown adults get in their moment and they want to kick dirt and cuss and get mad. And I haven't found any of that in God's plan of how to resolve problems. Okay? So he says, I want you to acknowledge the offense. Now, notice a few things. Notice, first of all, the place of the acknowledgement. The place of the acknowledgement is the assembly of believers itself. When it comes to matters of being offended, there is no higher court for the Christian than the church itself. 1 Corinthians 16:1, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Did you know one of the worst things that Christians can do is air their dirty laundry, their problems with another Christian, before non-Christians? One of the worst things we can do when a Christian does something wrong to us is tell all our unsaved friends. Why would someone without Christ want Christ if all we're doing is telling them how bad some other Christian is? God says, hey, I want that to be handled. I want the place of the acknowledgement to be within the context of believers going to believers one-on-one and handling the problem. Now, secondly, I want you to see the person that you acknowledge. The person, notice in verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go to him and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Now notice that, between thee and him alone. Would you say that with me? Between thee and him alone. He says, if someone offends you, I want you to go to them. I want you to go, it's between you and him alone. Look at one of the signs of immaturity, one of the things that will exasperate any type of a problem is when you go to your 19 girlfriends or your 17 buddies and you begin spreading things that really need to be resolved between you and the person that has offended you. Now, maybe this person has mistreated your child. Maybe this person just kind of ran you over in the parking lot. Maybe this person said something they should not say. Maybe they're a Boston Celtics fan. I don't know what they have done. I just know if somebody has done something truly offensive, that God has a plan, that you don't hide this problem, you don't let bitterness build up in your marriage, but you go to the person in love and in meekness and you say, I don't even know if you meant it this way, but something was said, something was done. I just need you to know that it's hurt me. We're going to talk about how to respond to that in just a moment. But the place of the acknowledgement is right within the context of the body. Notice, secondly, the approach of the offender. The approach of the offended and the offender. Now, let me give you a little bit here in verse 15. It says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. All right? Now, what is the purpose of this? Why should you go to a believer if they have wronged you? Maybe they said they would fix your lawnmower for $50, and $590 later, you don't even have wheels on your lawnmower. All right? By the way, just because someone's a Christian or a church member doesn't mean you have to do business with them. And my philosophy has always been this. If I have someone from the church fix something at my house and I'm not happy with it, I'm just going to keep peace in the church and go hire another painter or another plumber or somebody else. And if I have to pay a few extra bucks to be right with a brother, that's okay with me. The fact of the matter is that the most important thing to me as a pastor and as a Christian is to be right with the brother. But what's the purpose? If you do need to go to someone, why? Is it to prove your point? Is it to watch them turn red in the face? What is the purpose? Let me show you the purpose. Verse 15, it says, thou hast gained thy brother. It is to regain the right hand of fellowship. It is to acquire their fellowship. Romans 12:21, I believe, is in your notes. And it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Would you say that with me? Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. One more time. Be not overcome of evil. So we want this to be good, and someone may not respond properly to you. Don't you respond in kind. I've had that happen, and you have too. You're just trying to be kind. You're just trying to resolve something, and there's not a kind response. But continually overcome evil with good. The Bible says that even a wife who has an unsaved husband, by her love and by her demonstration of Christ, can often win that husband by overcoming evil with good. 1 Peter 3:1. They also may, without the word, be won by the conversation or the lifestyle of the wife. And so we see in this passage that God gives to us a purpose for approaching the offender, and that is to gain a brother. Now, he gives us quickly a process for approaching the offender. And you see it right here in these verses. First of all, he says, I want you to go one-on-one. I want you to go directly to the person that has offended you. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love. And you just simply say, I'd like to have a minute with you. Could we get together for a minute? And you tell them right up front, I want you to know I appreciate you. I'm glad we serve the Lord together, but something has happened. And I want to speak the truth in love. And I go to them one-on-one. And by the way, if you are ever approached, your spirit should not be a defensive spirit. It should concern you even if you unwittingly did something. It should concern you if you knowingly did something. And I believe that we have an opportunity here to strengthen relationships. And let me give you the 7 A's of confession. If someone comes and says, look, you about ran me over the other day. You didn't even know it. Or hey, I heard you say a foul word and it's bothered me ever since. I don't think an usher should speak that way. By the way, how many of you don't think ushers should speak that way? Thank God for our godly ushers. I'm not picking on them, but let's just say someone heard an usher say a foul word and or something of that nature, and it's bothering you, and it's offensive to you. By the way, it would be offensive to me. And if I heard that, I would go to the usher. I'd say, hey, Joe, you may have been having a bad day, but man, I'll tell you what, it hurt me, but more than that, I'm afraid it might hurt the cause of Christ. And I just felt as your brother, I wanted to come with you. How many of you think we're all within our bounds to do this? Yeah, in the right spirit to gain a brother, to keep things right. Now, if you're the one who said the word, or if you're the one who did the deed, what's the right response? 7 steps are given to you in your notes. Number one, we need to address only those that are involved. We need to avoid if, but, or maybe. Now look right here. If you said a word like that, you don't say, well, if I offended you, I'm sorry. Excuse me, it's not if, it is definite. So many times we try to shift the blame back to this person that like it's their fault they heard it. You know, they were just walking through the hallway. Right. So try to avoid shifting it. Number three, admit what you did. Number four, apologize. Number five, ask for forgiveness. Number six, accept the consequences. And number seven, alter your behavior. You go to the person one-on-one, and your endeavor is to make things right with them. Wouldn't it be great if Christians would learn how to do that in the family and in the church? I mean, just to go like, just say, hey, Joe, I want to tell you something. I want you to know, Joe, that I heard what you said yesterday over there, and it offended me. And Joe would say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Yeah, I'll forgive you. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. You say, Pastor, why are you having a puppet show in the adult service? Because when I see adults that don't handle things properly, it reminds me of the children in the Sunday school. Right? So the next time you're tempted to get ticked off and make a small matter bigger, let's remember our puppet show, boys and girls. All right, never mind. Okay, here we go. Now, so God says, I want you to go one-on-one to the person. Hey, look it. Let me help you with something. You know, before we would ever administer corporal punishment to our children, and we did. But before we ever did, I always made sure that I spent ample time in prayer first. I didn't want to go off in there just demonstrating physical power and authority and, you know, being some kind of a big shot and maybe hurt one of my children. In fact, it hurt me deeply if I had to discipline my children. But let me tell you something. When you come into a meeting like this, make sure you're prayed up and that your heart is right. Make sure you're tender. Make sure that you're approaching it in the right way. One-on-one. Sometimes, secondly, you have to go with a witness. Maybe you go to somebody and you say, man, I hate to come to you with this, but I saw you in a compromising position with a certain situation. She wasn't your wife. And maybe the guy says, hey, nobody telling me what to do. And you had a right spirit. Maybe you have to go find a deacon or assistant pastor or a godly man and say, man, I hate to ask you, but I've got to have your help with the situation. And you go with witnesses. 2 Corinthians 13:1. This is the third time I'm coming to you in the mouth of two or three witnesses. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Sometimes it even goes to the church. Verse 17 says, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as unto the heathen man and a publican. Now, oftentimes, as it's coming to that point, someone has either already gotten right. I think 99% of the time, it ought to be dealt with right in the one-on-one. But sometimes it might be escalating. And normally, but before it escalates to that point, you pray that someone repents and makes things right. Sometimes someone is long gone before you can ever deal with it in the church, so to speak. But God says, look at, this is my plan. And I want you to understand, Jesus loves every Christian. He loves wayward Christians. He loves the heathen. But habitually sinning people, continually filled with bitterness, must sometimes face the loss of fellowship in order to realize that they must repent and they must turn from their wicked ways in order to bring the testimony of Christ right and make it right in the church. And the Apostle Paul spoke of this in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 13. He said, but them that are without God judgeth, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So what do you do with someone who willfully offends? How do you handle that? And I want to tell you, friend, you go to them and you speak to them in love and you bring the need and then you reconcile so that you can gain a brother. Hey, it's not about proving you are right and they are wrong. It's about gaining a brother. It's about keeping the church strong to the glory of God. Sometimes there's going to be a willful offense and God says, here's what I want done in my church. My church is the highest authority I have on earth for these spiritual matters. Notice, secondly, there's a second category or you might run into in your spiritual life. And that is the wayward brother. A wayward brother. This is not merely an offense of someone that did something like pick on your kid or toilet paper your house or something like that. This is going to be someone that's away from the Lord. And let me tell you something that you might want to remember from Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1. Notice what it says. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, on the one hand, we had an offensive brother, someone that did something wrong. On the other hand, we have a brother. He's not doing something against you in the church. He's not offending you particularly, but he's walking away from the faith. He's going back into a life of sin. He had not touched crack cocaine for 6 months. He had been faithful to his wife for 16 years. Suddenly, everything seems to be exploding. And sometimes when that happens, Christians don't know exactly what to do. And certainly, we should be concerned for the testimony of the church. But what about being concerned for someone whose life is really going away from God?
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And today, he's been teaching a series entitled Real Church. If you are interested in watching Pastor Chappell preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, you can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11, or Sunday evenings at 5 Pacific Standard Time. You can also visit lancasterbaptist.org for a list of other services. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
God never meant for you to go through life alone. If you're not a part of a local church, it is God's plan that you find one and get involved. Every Christian needs a church family to belong to. If you are in our area of Southern California, I invite you to attend one of the services here at Lancaster Baptist Church. You can find our location and service times when you visit our website at lancasterbaptist.org. And if you really want to see a church in action, I invite you to visit our annual Open House Sunday, October 12th at 8:30 or 11. People from all over Southern California will visit us on that day, and I invite you to be my guest. If you're not in our area and you need help finding a church home, write to me, Paul Chapel at dailyintheword.org, and I'll send you some information on how to find a good church. Besides teaching and preaching the Bible, a great part of my life is spent investing in young people here at West Coast Baptist College. West Coast Baptist College shares the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church. We are a four-year Bible college dedicated to training young men and women for a life of ministry in local churches around the world. If you are interested in Bible college, or if you know a young person that is, contact us today at wcbc.edu. It is our joy and privilege to serve Christ and to prepare others to serve Christ at the West Coast Baptist College.
That was Pastor Paul Chapel with Daily in the Word. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books, including Out of Commission. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.